Biz ol şey salavat.
Allahumma salli ala
for the sake of Ali ibn Hussein and Abidin, please say another salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائدون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الهمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن الذي ليس لصفته حد محدود ولا نعت موجود ولا وقت معدود ولا أجل ممدود الذي فطر الخلائق بقدرته ونشر الرياح برحمته ووتد بالصخور ميدان أرضه والصلاة والسلام على الرسول المسدد والنبي الأمجد والمصطفى الأحمد حبيبنا وحبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا سيما بقية الله الأعظم حجة ابن الحسن أرواحنا وأرواح العالمين
And if you do not have that antivirus, I have this experience that you, all you have this experience as well. That if there is a virus, whenever you open any program, start opening any program, this virus is going to pop up. So that means in our spiritual life also, if viruses go inside and they are being affected on the hearts and the minds, wherever you are, whatever program you start, for example, you come in the masjid, you come in the center and sit in the majlis, you are not really sitting in the majlis. You will be somewhere else. Because viruses have already affected the hearts. Hearts are not in majlis. You stand for the prayer, whatever you do, wherever you go, these viruses are going to pop up. So you have to really find the remedy for that. You have to go and look at what kind of the medicine you can use that you can close those viruses. And that is antivirus system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This antivirus system is one of the beautiful systems that Allah has provided in Quran. اتقوا الله You should have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should guard yourself. Guarding yourself, that means taking the control of your own body and your own soul in your own hands. That means becoming your own leader. Maybe somebody, he can be leader of the community, he can be leader of the country, he can be leader of army, but he is not leader of his own. That is why the people, they fail to be leader in this world. You can call many people as leader, you can name them as leader, but they cannot be leader. When a person can be leader, then he can lead his own self. If somebody can be self-leader, he can be one of the best leaders in this world. When we look at the personalities of Ahlul Bayt alayhi as-salam, they are purified souls. They are satisfied souls in this world. Because of their satisfaction, because of their purification, because they have command of their own selves in their own hands, that is why they can lead whole world. Even the people up till judgment day will be following from these personalities, because they control themselves. They never let this soul go in the hands of the wishes and desire. Today you can name, for example, Obamas and whatever you name them and call them leader. But how they can be leader when they are not leader for their own self, standing hand in hand with their wives and dancing outside? Can you call them as a leader? How this person can be a leader? This person cannot control his own desire. This person cannot control himself. How that person can be leader? Look at the leaders of the world today. Those who are following the examples of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. The personalities of our fuqaha. The personality of Wali-e-Faqih. Who controls the desires, commands the desires, tames the desires, and then he can be called as a leader. Then the people, they become submissive. One of the qualities of a leader, when he tames himself, the hearts of the people go and be motivated towards him. The people are going to have love with them. One of the things what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given in the hands of anybody in this world, that is command of the heart. You know, no one can win the heart. For example, if somebody makes you captive, arrests you, and then he starts asking you that you start having love with me, be a friend of mine, can you be a friend of him? It's not possible. Somebody suppressed you and he asks you that you become friend of mine, I will be friendly with you. No, you are not going to accept me. But when you look at the qualities of the people, if somebody is truthful, if somebody is honest, this honesty is going to make place in your heart. The person can be your friend because of the honesty. This honesty is one of the qualities that controls ourselves. That is control of our body. That is control on our soul. That we don't like to lie in this world. And when you hate the lies and follow the path of honesty, you will be one of the good leaders. That is why, ittaqullah. And that is a footstep toward wasila. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used word in this verse by saying وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَ. You seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a wasila. We use many terms. For example, sometimes we say Ya Ali, Ya Ali Madad, Ya Hussein, Ya Imam-e-Zaman. Many of people, they have problem with that. They said that, you know, these Shias or some other Muslim brothers as well, they became mushrik because they are calling some personalities as they call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what they have to do, what they're supposed to do, they only have to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have to say, Ya Allah. They shouldn't say anything else. They shouldn't call any other personality. And how that is possible that at the same time you are calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are calling with the same term Ya many other people as well. First of all, before I go in detail, let us read the Quran. Do we find any place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls with Ya any other personality? read the beginning of Quran, for example, Ya Adam uskun anta wa zawjukal jannah. O Adam. So that means calling Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is one of the traditions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not me that I'm calling. If I call Ya Adamo, I'm not calling Ya Adamo. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is calling Ya Adamo. Then go further. The next personality, the next prophet, Ya Nuhu. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O Nuh. Then going further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Innahu laysa min ahlik. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was speaking with Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, as he brought his concern before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying that my son at this time is facing a flood, and he wanted to have refuge of his son. And Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, because of his relation with his son, he raised his hands, he said that, Ya Allah, this is my son, and please save him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, Ronuh, innahu laysa min ahli. He's not amongst you. He's not from you. He's not from your family. And there is interesting point, brothers and sisters, that can be learned from this verse as well. That Allah is saying that everybody who born in the house of somebody, he cannot be considered from Ahlul Bayt. To be amongst Ahlul Bayt, it is necessary that he has to be on the path of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. If he is on the path of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, then he can be considered as Ahle Nuh. Otherwise he cannot be considered as Ahle Nuh. He is Ahle Shaitan. He is not Ahle Nuh. So the same example can be taken in the house of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Everybody who born on the values of the Prophet and stays on the path of Prophet, he can be considered as Ahlul Bayt. Otherwise he cannot be considered from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Then you can find in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many places has said, Ya Ibrahim. So there are various places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls with these names. But what does wasila mean? When we say wasila, we do tawassul, we have a dua which we recite on Tuesday night. That dua is called dua-e tawassul. So to make a meaning for the children, I would like to say that tawassul, that means considering the resources towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the meanings towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who can be favors in this world towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then objection can be created that why we need anybody who can be in favor of us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is very close to everybody. The other people, when they like to object, what they say that when you read in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in Quran, Inni aqrabu min hablil wareed. That Allah's authority is closest than yourself. He is closer than your own span. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. So if Allah is closer than the human being himself, how come that we need anybody as wasila? Why we need any resource towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why you are asking, Allahumma inni as'aluka wa atawajjahu ilayk bi nabiyyika nabiyyir rahma Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. And then suddenly you start addressing the Prophet, Inna tawajjahna wa tawassalna wa istashfa'na bika ila Allah. O Prophet, now I turn my face towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through you. I have access towards Allah through you. How come we can do that? What is the need? because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very close to us. To answer that, brothers and sisters, we can say that yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very close to everybody in this world. Can anybody say that Allah is not close to anybody? The authority who is closer because of the creation, the authority who provides the sustenance to everybody, our life is related to Him. He is Hayy. We live because of Him, because He is Qayyum. Because of all the qualities, we are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is close to us. So why we need tawassul? What is the need of wasila? This is the important subject that we have to think about. Let us look that if we see this creation of human being and the fitrah of human being is based on tawassul. Everything, it has tawassul in so on. We eat these fruits and we take them from the tree. But how this fruit comes in our hands? What are the resources being used to have these fruits in our hands? Let us think that this fruit needs to have access towards the tree. Tree contains the branches and it has roots. These roots need to have water, need to have food from the earth. So everything in creation does tawassul in its fitrah. It does tawassul in its nature. So that means roots are always asking the water, can you help me that I can achieve, I can live in this world. To have life, they are asking help from the water. Water is asking help from the clouds sometime, or raining. They are asking help from the wind. That wind has to take the clouds and it has to come on the place and the point where water is needed. The rain has to come down and it has to fill the need of that earth. And when that earth will have water, these roots are going to take the water. And they will send this water towards the tree. And tree is going to be green. It is going to be fed by the water. And that is how we can have these fruits. For example, when you open any fruit, do we ever thought about that? Did we ever think that how great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in our hands? How many resources are being used to just have this fruit? Today the people, they don't eat fruit, of course. They just have some sort of juices. They take juice in a glass and drink the juice, a glass of juice. That is sufficient. They don't have access toward the fruits. Even the fruits, they are remaining in the refrigerators for the days and days. And they do not have that blessing what the past people they used to have. Even they don't have time to eat that as well. Because when in the morning they just have to take a cup of coffee and then they start driving. While they are driving during the way, they have to drink a little bit of coffee and reach to their job, their place, and then start working in the morning. And when they come in the evening at home, they don't have time at that time as well. They just eat and then because of being tired, they will go to sleep. But whenever we eat something, we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that opportunity, that great blessing what we have. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. These are the favors for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us in everything when He provided those great fruits and the blessings in this world. These foods what we take. And let us look that our body does tawassul It has a tawassul as well. Have you ever thought when you become hungry? Right? What is our nature asking at that time? Our nature starts asking, can you feed something? I need something. When you become thirsty at that time, you start thinking that, can I drink something? So that means it is asking the help. It is doing tawassul. Our nature is doing tawassul. Can I have something to eat? So there is a natural tawassul in the life of human being. Everything in this world has the process of tawassul. Can you please say salawat? Either you are very tired today or you are really listening. Whatever is the case, can you please say another salawat?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So let us look at when we start having the tawassul, what is the need and necessity of the tawassul? Why we need tawassul? The need of tawassul, it becomes when something, it is going to feel the need. It has less capacity, it's less powerful, and it does tawassul from something which is powerful. Or where all the blessings are available, it starts having access toward them. It starts asking and doing tawassul toward them. When we do these pipelines, or there also there are available pipelines, or the pipelines of the water. Think that a pipeline, it comes from the tank, right? And there is a huge big pipeline. They start making that pipeline outside from that tank, and that tank, it goes and comes to your house. But when it comes to your house, at that time you have very small pipes. You don't need to have big pipelines inside your house, because the wiring of the pipelines inside the house, it has to be very small. Now, brothers and sisters, when you like to put these small pipelines, you need to have joint. Through joint, you have to have access toward that big pipeline. Because that is huge pipe, and if you just open this huge pipe inside your house, there will be flood. The house is going to be under flood. So what you need to do, you need to have small pipelines. These small pipelines are asking something to you, that if you like to have access with the big pipeline, then you have to put some joint that I can have access to the big pipeline. That is the same case with the human being. That human being is a small entity in this world. To have access with the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it needs to have a joint. That joint can bring him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we understand that our capacity is smaller, and capacity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is overwhelming. It's like flooding. It's like river. It's like ocean. Everything, every quality in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in perfect manner. And we are not perfect human being. An imperfect human being, if he likes to be connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he needs to have access through the joints of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam are connection between human being and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now we understand that the objection was made, it was wrong. The people have raised the question about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said that Allah is closer with everybody. Allah said, Inni akrabu min hablil wareed. Yes, we believe Allah is closer to everybody. But what about us? What about ourselves? Are we closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? we want to raise the question from the other side. Yeah. We start thinking about ourselves, that are we closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well? Yeah. If we are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we can speak directly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because not having that capability, because of not having that capacity, that I can speak directly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I call Prophet peace be upon him. I call Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now let us have an example from Quran. Quran speaks about Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. It says that the nation of Hazrat Musa came asking from Hazrat Musa that we would like to see your Lord. Right? A very interesting demand. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever asked from your Prophet that we would like to see Allah? We never thought about that. But the nation of Hazrat Musa demanded Musa that we would like to see your Lord. So this was a big challenge for Hazrat Musa. Hazrat Musa knew that it's not possible, of course. We cannot think that a prophet like Hazrat Musa, Ulul Azm prophet, one of the great personalities amongst the prophets, he did not have that knowledge that he cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, to satisfy the nation. The big concern of the prophets was satisfying the nation. And today is the same problem, you know. Our ulama and the scholars, sometimes people they say that ulama have the fear. No, they don't have fear. Only the fear is the misguidance of the people. Sometimes if they do not raise some of the problems, some of the factors of the society, that is because of the fear that maybe the people are going to be misguided. They don't like to raise those kind of things. For example, today, these majalis and azadari and these type of things and the concerns about that, they are factors in our community. And many of the agents from outside are being deployed to create misconceptions between the azadari, within the azadari. The school of thought is very important school of thought. It's very important institution within the world. But they started penetrating and changing the concept of azadari. They're making azadari just ritual. Or giving azadari in the hands of some ignorant people. They start making this azadari, for example, whatever they like to do. They think that whatever we can do in azadari, that's okay. Everything is okay. And then if ulama, they like teach sometime, it becomes problematic. Because people, they do not like listen. They think that whatever we are demanding, that has to be fulfilled. So brothers and sisters, then Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam started thinking, what can I do? He asked all the people, let us go to the Koh-e-Tur, the mountain of Tur. All the people, they started running with Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. They came close to that mountain. Everybody sat down. And Hazrat Musa, of course, he raised his hand. O Allah, this is my nation. It's demanding something. What can I do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered Hazrat Musa. Allah said, one of the words of Quran, Lan tarani. You will not be able to see me. There is no possibility. How come we cannot see? Why we cannot see? Brothers and sisters, our eyes do not have that capacity to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even about that book which is revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. which contains the speeches of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about that book? Before I say about that, it's been said that Allah started speaking with the tree. A speech was created in the tree. And everybody was shaken. All the people, including Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Everybody became unconscious. They fainted. And then later on, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam woke up and started looking, oh my God, this is something what I have been told, that you will not be able to see. And no one is capable, no one has that capacity that they can see me. But you know, the nation of Hazrat Musa was really intelligent nation. They never stood up under the sky and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would like to see you. But they came before Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, asking him that we would like to see your Lord. So that makes us sense that whenever you have any demand, you have to go and access toward these accessories. You should have access toward Wasila. You should make a Wasila who can be capable to put your demand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And best of the Wasila at that time was Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Why the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to create a kind of situation that tree goes and burns down and the people they go, he fainted. What is the reason? That's what the Quran has said. لَوْ نَزَّلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ ذَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا. If we would have revealed this book on the mountain, then mountain would have destroyed. They could not stand in front of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mountain does not have that capacity to hold the speeches of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that is the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
That is the capacity of the heart of the Prophet, mind of Prophet, that was being capable to take the speeches of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, sometimes when you hear that on the first day, when angel Jibreel came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, saying, Iqra, and Prophet said, what can I read? And then he said, Iqra, Bismi Rabbika alladhi khalaq, and Prophet started reading, Iqra, Bismi Rabbika alladhi khalaq. And at that time he was shaking. And when Prophet came back, he was completely fearful. His body was shaking. And Hazrat Khadija asked, the people, they have changed a lot, this story of Hazrat Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they started saying, unfortunately, there was a misconception created within the history, and the roots of history was being changed. That when Jibreel came and he said that, read, and he said that, what can I read? And then again he said that, you have to read, and he said, what can I read? And third time again, he said, you have to read. And then he came close to Prophet, peace be upon him, and he started hugging with the Prophet. And he shaked the Prophet. And after shaking the Prophet, Prophet started reading. Isn't that funny? Don't you think that it's quite funny? This narration, or historical narration, it does not have any place. That why such a person, who born in the Arab country, who started speaking Arabic from very beginning of his life, right, lived within Makkah, everybody speaks Arabic. He was not a person who born in India, right? And then on that day, Jibreel came to him and he said that, you have to read Iqra, and he said Iqra, right? You know how we read Taq sometimes? Instead of Iqra, we say Iqra, right? and we change the pronunciation of the Qaf. This is Prophet, and this is personality. From the childhood, he grew up in Makkah, and he could speak Arabic, of course. He lived 40 years of his life over there. And it's just something which was written that he could not read that. He was asking him, you have to follow me what I'm saying. And if somebody start, for example, you born in various countries, and if somebody comes and speak in your language and start asking you read something, what is the problem with you that you cannot read? And then they say that he came close to the Prophet, he shaked the body of Prophet. What is going to be difference when we shake somebody? With the shaking, is he going to be changed? His mind is going to be increased? His intelligence is going to be increased? No, of course not. Nothing is going to be changed by shaking. So that means this narration is completely wrong. But of course there were some effects because of the revelation. When Prophet came back from the cave of Hira, at that time he was a little bit fearful and he was shaking. And Hazrat Khadija asked Prophet, peace be upon him, what it has happened. And he narrated everything. Over there also they have changed the history. They said that actually Prophet did not know that what had happened, and he came to Hazrat Khadija asking him that, can you go and find it out somewhere else? Right? Go and ask from your uncle, for example, because he better knows about you what it has happened. Think about it, isn't it funny? Is he Prophet? If Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, from very beginning of his life, from the childhood, he can say, Inni Abdullah Atani al Kitab. And the Prophet, after 40 years of his life, he cannot realize this is angel. And the angel is speaking with me. So the pride tone, the level of the Prophet, peace be upon him, less than Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. These people, they have changed, fabricated the narration. Brothers and sisters, when we look at the life of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, we can understand that capacity-wise, we do not have capacity in our eyes that we can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And capacity-wise, we do not have that capacity that we can hear the voice created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if revelation comes to a prophet, even the great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the chief of all the prophets, his body starts shaking. His body starts trembling. Because that is power of the wahi, power of the revelation. It creates the fear in the heart. How come the person like me, who is not a prophet, who has no capacity, how come he can speak with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To speak with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to have access. That is why when you look at du'as of our fourth Imam, Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam, after every two sentences, go through Sahifa-i Kamila, read sometimes the du'as of Imam al-Sajjad. Every sentence, after every sentence, he says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma a'tilil wasilata wal fadilata. O Allah, provide me that wasila, provide me that access that I can speak with you, I can communicate with you. If the personalities like Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, if they like to speak with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they should seek their own access toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They need wasila as well. But whom they have to access to? If they like to access, they have to access toward their own position. They have to access to their own wilaya. They have to access to their own ismat and infallibility. They have put all the qualities in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah, I would like to ask you, accept my dua because of my ismat. Accept my dua because of my wilaya. Accept my dua, whatever position you have given to me. So that is the tawassul what Ahlul Bayt Rahimahumullah have in their own life. So the tawassul is one of the necessities. So the first thing what we said, that tawassul is a natural necessity of every human being or every creature in this world. Everything in this world is demanding for the tawassul. Second thing, that if we like to have tawassul, that is the need, because we as capacity wise are less powerful. We do not have those capabilities to speak with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why to be connected with the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to have those important joints, and those joints are the joints of Quran and Itrat. Two things can be wasila for our life. As Prophet has said, Inni tarikun fikum uttaqalain kitab Allahi wa itrati ahlu bayti. These are the two wasail, these are the two resources. But to be connected with these two resources, what we need? What are the basic qualification of that? Basic qualification of that are iman and taqwa. Because Quran has said, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanuttaqullaha wabtaghu ilayhil wasila. That means if one does not have iman, he will not be able to understand Quran. If one does not have iman and taqwa, he will not be able to benefit from Ahlul Bayt Rahimahum Salaam, to take that wasila and access towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like our eyes, if we become sick sometimes, and if we have pain in our eyes, and we sit the place where there is a light, we don't like to have light. Most of the time we become comfortable, for example, when there is light. And if there is darkness, we do not like to have darkness. But only two situations where we like to have darkness. One of the situations when we really become tired, when we like to sleep, right? When we like to sleep, at that time we like that all the lights have been closed, and now we like to sleep. I went to Norway. And because in Norway, like some cities in this state also, the nights are short, only 2 hours sometimes, two or 2.5 hours sometimes. And the people over there, of course, when it from one side evening starts, and after 2 hours it starts having morning, they don't have darkness. And over there I realized the importance of the darkness. Sometimes we don't realize that. We don't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great blessing of the darkness. This is great blessing. It provides us a comfort that we can remove our tiredness, and again we can be ready for the next day. And we have to thank for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this sleeping sometimes. These bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After sleeping, stand up. And as Ahlul Bayt Rahimahum Salaam, sometimes they used to, that whenever they woke up in the morning, they used to bow down in sajda, went in sajda, and thank for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great blessing that Allah has provided us, that we have been able to sleep. Only those people can realize the importance of sleeping who cannot sleep, or those who eat the tablets, use the tablets to sleep. These people can realize what is the importance of sleeping. So one person who does not like to have light, that is the person who is tired. Second person whose eyes become sick, because of the sickness, person does not like to have light. Even when he wants to go outside, or if there is surgery taking place in the eyes, what the doctor do, they put some sort of glasses or some curtain on the eyes, that eyes cannot see, they don't see outside, because he does not like to see the light. If he opens the eyes towards the light, his eyes are going to be painful. Same is the situation of spiritual eyes. Quran is a light. Ahlul Bayt are nur. Quran and Ahlul Bayt are lights, shining lights in this world. And those spiritual eyes, if they become sick, and if they are going to be open towards Ahlul Bayt and Quran, they will not be able to take benefits of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. They will feel the pain. And their pain is going to be increased. And that's what Quran has said. وَلَا يَوِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. That when those people who are sick mind, those people who are spiritually sick, when they will come close to the Quran, وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. They are going to have only the loss. They will not benefit from the Quran. But about the faithful people, it's been said, شِفَاءٌ. It's remedy for them. When they get close to the light, at that time they feel comfortable. When they get close to the Quran, وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. That when the faithful people, they get close to the Quran, they start reading the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at that time their hearts are being inspired. They become enlightened. And the zadatum iman, it increases their faith. So every day when they read, their faith is increased. And the best way to have a judgment that are we really reading Quran, are we really doing the tilawat of Quran, is that if you feel every time that your iman is increased, you must realize that you have recited as it is required. But if it's just recitation, it's just going through completing of the sparas and the juz and part, then there's no benefit for that. Because just going through, like other books, it's not going to benefit. The Quran, it becomes beneficial when you read that as the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, as yesterday, we remembered a few of the tragedies of our fourth Imam, Imam Sajjad. Today, again, I would like to say salam to Ali ibn Hussein alayhi salatu was salam. Assalamu alayka ya Ali ibn Hussein Zain al-Abidin. As-salamu alayka ya Sayyid al-Sajideen. Let us do a little tawassul with Imam Sajjad tonight again. As when we will have tears in our eyes, brothers and sisters, these majalis benefit us a lot. And one of the benefits of the majalis, when we have tears in our eyes, at that point ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Because the Prophet has said that all the eyes will weep on the day of judgment. Other than the eyes will weep for the tragedy of Karbala, to remember Imam Hussein. Prophet said, if anybody is going to remember my son Abu Abdullah al-Hussein in the majlis, and he or she will have the tears in their eyes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to forgive them on the day of judgment. They will come before Allah with happy faces. They will not be crying on the day of judgment. But brothers and sisters, the personality we would like to remember today, he is not a personality who just wept one day, 2 days, 3 days, only in majalis, when he came across and somebody is reciting. He did not need any reciter. Sayyid Sajjad did not need to have any reciter. But it's been said 20 years after the martyrdom of his father, he was always remembering the tragedy of Karbala, and he was just crying, he was just weeping. Wherever he goes, he was just weeping continuously. And some people, they came to Sayyid Sajjad, asking, "Oh Sayyid Sajjad, it's very long time now. You're just weeping. You should be patient. Why you lost your patience? You are son of the Imam Hussein, and he was one of the patient personality. Why you lost your patience?" You know what Imam Sajjad said? Imam Sajjad said, oh brother, you have not been justice with me. That, have you read the Quran? Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam lost his only one son, and he was weeping for all his life. And even Yaqub, he lost his eyes. Don't you think that on the day of Ashura, I have lost all my brothers, I lost my uncle, I lost my father, I lost my companions. And when I woke up in the evening of Ashura, I just looked at the bodies remaining in Karbala. Oh brothers and sisters, let me go through one of the most important tragedies in the life of Sayyid Sajjad that has shaken Sayyid Sajjad in his life. It is said on the 11th of Muharram, when the caravan was prepared to go towards Kufa and Syria, and all the caravan and the people, they were been riding on the camels, and Imam Sajjad with his chains, his hands were being bent on his back. When he came close to the body of his father, you know the body, what kind of body, I cannot define at this time, brothers and sisters. It's not possible for me that I can explain that what kind of body of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein was in the battlefield of Karbala. It's only said that under the stones, with hundreds of the wounds and hundreds of the injuries in the body of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein without the head, it was remaining in the battlefield of Karbala. Imam Sajjad and all the caravan, when they came close, it is said everybody fell down from the camel. Not only Imam Sajjad, Hazrat Zainab fell down from the camel. Umm Kulsoom fell down from the camel. Hazrat Sakina fell down from the camel. Everybody came close to the body. Then, brothers and sisters, it is said, first Zainab came close to the body of her brother. She came close to the body of her brother, and she put her hand underneath the cut head of the Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. She put the hands over there, and then she faced towards Medina. She said, "Allahumma taqabbal minna hadha al-qurban. Oh Allah, accept this sacrifice." Now brothers and sisters, I just want to narrate the tragedy of Imam Zain al-Abidin. When everybody left the bodies, the Makhtalif, it narrates that the personality of Sayyid Sajjad was just silently looking at the body. I do not know what he was saying to his father. I cannot understand that what Imam Sajjad was thinking at that time. Maybe he was thinking, "Oh my father, can I leave you like that? Is that possible for a son that he can leave a father without a coffin? Can I leave you without a grave? I cannot give you ghusl." Inna lillah. Oh brothers and sisters, this was one of the tragedies, that when Hazrat Zainab, she just looked at the face of Hazrat Imam Sajjad. She was looking at the face and she says that, "Oh my nephew, oh Sayyid Sajjad, what it has happened with you? Why your face is changed? You are close to the death. Oh Sayyid Sajjad, just move yourself up." Brothers and sisters, if it was not recommended, I wouldn't have read that. It is said that another tragedy in the life of Sayyid Sajjad, when he entered in the court of Ibn Ziyad, that is the second biggest tragedy in the life of Imam Sajjad. It is said when he entered at that time, he was like in ruku. Imam Sajjad was like in ruku, going down. Maybe many of them, they asked, "Oh Sayyid Sajjad, what it has happened with you, that you are just going down your face?" In the same court, Muslim Ibn Aqil came, and he was like brave. His head was like a brave man. He was just looking towards Ibn Ziyad, and he was facing Ibn Ziyad. He was speaking like a brave man. "What it has happened with you, oh Sayyid Sajjad?" Imam Sajjad would have said, "Oh people, be just, that at this time when I am coming in the court of Ibn Ziyad, my sisters are with me, my auntie is with me, my auntie Zainab is with me, my auntie Umm Kulthum is with me." When Muslim Ibn Aqil came to the court of Ibn Ziyad, at that time there was nobody with him. He was just alone. He did not have his daughters. He did not have his sisters. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un wa sayya'lamu alladhina zalamu ayyamun qalbin yanqalibun. Allahumma ighfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir 'anna sayyi'atina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar li jahi Muhammadin wa alihi al-athhar. Mahtam Hussain.